This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Borrowing for a house is still cheap, but not as cheap as it was. I'm David Brancaccio. During the pandemic, interest rates in general, and mortgages especially, were down as low as they go. But now, the average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is up at 3.22%. According to numbers from a backer of home loans, Freddie Mac, that's now the highest in more than a year and a half. Will higher rates cool red-hot demand for houses? Well, it's not that simple. Here's Marketplace's Matt Levin.
Here's the theory. Higher mortgage rates mean higher monthly payments, which fewer buyers can afford, which means less demand and lower home prices. But inflation changes things, says Richard Green, a housing economist at USC.
If you look at mortgage rates relative to inflation, they are still very cheap right now.
Plus, rents are still rising dramatically.
If the rents go up, then you're going to say to yourself, well, I'd rather not rent.
Most housing economists expect higher interest rates to marginally slow price growth this year, and some buyers will be hit more than others because of those higher rates, says economist Lawrence Young with the National Association of Realtors.
It could be, say, $250 additional per month in California, while it's only $50 in the Midwestern markets.
That can make cities like Boise and Phoenix even more attractive to remote workers in 2022. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
Authorities in the northern Chinese city of Tianjin are testing each and every of the 14 million residents for COVID. This comes after 40 cases were identified in the city over the weekend, including the first pair of Omicron cases. China has a zero-tolerance approach. Here's Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai.
40 cases in Tianjin might seem small compared to the infections in American cities. But China's strategy is to contain outbreaks fast. Entire cities have been sealed off, ports have shut, disrupting the global supply chain. Millions of people are currently confined to their homes in two other cities. Still, there is widespread public support for this strategy in China. But it also means massive disruption, even for those who have not come into close contact. Overnight in Tianjin, residents need permission from their employers or community officials to leave the city. Trains and flights have been canceled. Those lucky enough to enter China, like I did recently, well, we must quarantine for at least 14 days, whether we are vaccinated or not. In a Shanghai quarantine hotel, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Money follows population, and a case study now is Spain, where two-thirds of the land now holds just 10% of the population amid migration towards cities. Now people who remain in the countryside are pushing back against what they see as underfunding. Guy Hedgeco, with our partner the BBC, reports on what is being called empty Spain.
On a cold morning on the plains of Segovia in central Spain, Rosa Aranz, a farmer, visits her pigs. Life can be tough for those who live in these sparsely populated areas of the country's interior, known as La España Vaciada, or Empty Spain.
The main problem we have in Empty Spain is that the institutions have turned their back on us. We should have certain services like those you see in any of the medium-sized towns, such as decent roads. We need decent internet connections, too, to make our everyday life easier.
In Olombrada, the nearby town, there are only 17 children in the school. Many other schools in this province have closed down due to lack of demand. The nearest railway station is nearly an hour's drive away. Rosa is a member of the Empty Spain organisation, which campaigns for the correction of inequalities between urban and rural areas.
It's possible that my parents' generation is the one which worked the hardest in order for my generation to have opportunities. And as a mother of three, I see that my children are probably going to have more difficulty in having a life in the countryside that is more or less fair and decent compared to that of their father and me.
But Empty Spain is fighting back. These farmers marched through the southwestern city of Mérida in just one of many recent protests. Chanting, "The countryside united will never be defeated," they called for government intervention to control spiralling farming costs. And they also had a broader demand for rural Spain to receive better treatment. And now, these voices are also being heard in the Spanish capital.
I'm outside Spain's Congress building in central Madrid. Since 2019, Spain's rural movement has had representation inside Parliament here because Tomás Guitarte of the Teruel Exists electoral platform won a seat.
The fact we are now inside the institutions means that we are there negotiating when the government takes action.
But Tomás Guitarte doesn't believe it is mission accomplished by any means. Spain's farmers, like many others across the world, are struggling right now due to price increases. These farmers protested recently outside the Agriculture Ministry. Meanwhile, the Empty Spain movement is seeking to increase its presence in Parliament at the next elections. It looks as if rural Spain might just be making a comeback.
That's Guy Hedgeco with the BBC reporting quite literally, mainly from a plane in Spain, Segovia. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.